Come and listen to us sing the heat and the cold. Father, thank you for the light of your love. Use us to share that light with those lost in darkness. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Oh, hi, Angel Ass.
Hi, Buttertush.
How's it going?
All right, how are you?
You're in D.C.
Yeah, apparently in D.C., you're either really, really rich or really, really poor, and that throws people off a lot.
All right. Let me say real quick, just seeing the prayer in the paper, I realize that it's been a while since we've been reading the birthday things. We've been reading the prayers from Somerset, Pennsylvania, my hometown, because it's so ridiculous to me that they not only pray to God in the paper, they mention, you know, specifically it's Jesus Christ. And these papers, these small towns also always have, you know, a birthday wish. Today
oh,
says...
Oh, right, that you can buy for your friend.
Mm-hmm, that you can buy for your friend, right, a little ad.
Right.
And it's always a picture of them when they were four, but if you see them, tell them happy birthday as an adult.
But they're like 90 years old now.
Mm-hmm. You're 20, this one says, you're 29 plus three more. If you see Janet, tell her she's 34.
Oh, somebody was so stretching for that poetry.
And the math
Anything
is still wrong.
Anything for a rhyme. And the math is still wrong.
Mm-hmm. 29 plus 3, that's 32, not 34.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, you have to count the one for good luck, you know, one to grow on.
Well, right next to it is another ad that somebody took out, like twice as big as the regular birthday ads, and this is all it says. Correction, Donnie is 30.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
No, are you serious?
Mm-hmm. So they made some cute thing the other day, and they had to take out an ad. Donnie's mad at us. Correction.
I was going to say, you think Donnie cried, and then this is the way to make it up?
Right. I am not 31.
I really think that this should be your present for your dad on whatever occasions you have to buy him a present. I think he'll love it.
If I find a picture when he was six.
I guess you got to be appropriate if you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before we get to... your trip and everything. Real quick, just because you brought it up, Father's Day. I was talking to my brother Ken, and they went out and hung out, him and my dad. And my dad told my brother Ken, and, you know, all these things are always manipulative, you know.
With that your father.
It's kinda, yeah, because Ken's like, I don't know if I should tell you this. You're supposed to tell me this. You know, this is your job. He wants you to tell me. And says that, you know, I do regret, you know, the way me and Keith get along, and I think it would have really helped that this one time if instead of yelling at him, I gave him a hug. I can't begin to guess one time he can possibly be talking about. There was a one time.
But
and
you
I
know
don't
what?
Even remember. Whenever I wouldn't turn my, you know, rat on my friend because I got caught with, you know, his pornography, when you had me, you know, digging rocks and making holes, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
What's
saying,
one time?
He's saying yelling, but... In my head, it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have made him dig holes and I should have hugged him. Was there really yelling? Did your father really yell at you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, your father raises his voice like that?
Yeah.
I just see him as such a, like, calm man. Not calm, but that if he yells, he looks like he would keel over, you know? So maybe that's why he doesn't yell so much. He just kind of... sternly just goes, go pick up some rocks.
He does the sighing and the low talking and almost, you know, one of those people that, yes, when you hear they're quieter, you know, they're angrier. But there are absolutely times where there's yelling. Absolutely.
All right. I guess that'll counter your mom's yelling that she used to do, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
But there was one time he's thinking of him, he's like, that was the time that changed it. I would like to know what that is. But he is happy with the, with that I have direction. He's happy.
Your brother didn't ask him what that one
exactly.
time was.
I told my brother that, and I'm like, you know, it's not like I'm really going to be thinking about this, but I am curious. My family's weird, and I am, if he goes, you know, I should have hugged Ken instead of yelling at him that one time, I wouldn't go, okay, that's a crazy fucking story. Anyways, let's go golfing. I'd be curious. I'd want to know. I'd want to know what's Ken saying on his radio show. That might interest me. I would want to know what time my dad, you know, thinks he should have hugged my brother. That would interest me.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wasn't even asking maybe he can find out for you. I was thinking if my father said that about one of my brothers, I would have to know. It just right. wouldn't end until I know. And
I
your father's
care.
Your father's probably waiting for that, like, oh, son, tell me which time and let's talk about it. But maybe that's why. Maybe Ken just wants the whole thing to just be over and he doesn't need more talking.
We can hang out, but we don't need to talk.
Well, it's Father's Day and he's the only one that lives close to him, so he has right. to. My father was in London. Did I say that already? My father
no.
was in London.
I know he was going to go. And I know they went. I don't know if we talked about it.
Yeah, and the thing is, it was such perfect timing because I'm still not completely forgiving of that last argument that we had, and it would have been very difficult to hang out with him on Father's Day. So much right. so that I mean he ended up being in London at the time, and I had to pick up their mail, and I was there on Father's Day, and I'm thinking I should pick up a card and go there, and I was just like, no, what am I going to write? And you know what? You weren't here. Maybe it's for the best. And my father's not the type to bring it up. So I'm not going to bring it up. You're not going to bring it up. And that's what you get.
I understand. And I'll call my father, you know, and I'll leave messages, you know, on Father's Day, no matter how much I complain about him. I feel that's a duty in a way. But if I had a fight with him, you know, within the week, I would not call because that's an apology. You saying Happy Father's Day, you apologizing. You made the right choice.
Well, in my family, it's just like, you know what, just call so that won't be the next dramatic thing. So that right. won't be something. It's like, you know, I've already spoken to my father because I'm calling my mom and he picks up the phone, you know, and he acted like nothing happened. So we're back to normal. So if you start something like that, then that means you're the one being dramatic, you know?
Right.
And I don't need that. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? You figure it out. Did I, oops, forget because you were in London, or am I mad at you? It's your turn to think about stupid shit.
But my dad is happy and about the direction, about the show.
How's
now,
that
of course,
possible?
Of course, he's disgusted by the show. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't hear it, but he knows I curse and everything. So that's, you know, he's disgusted with that. But I heard it in his voice. I wasn't surprised when Ken told me this because I heard it in his voice, like a little change that, you know, really, you guys are starting to make money off the show? You know, and he was impressed and he was surprised and he had to ask me 5 times, like, there's a bad connection, really? And then, like, I'm winning the race right now, I think, out of my family. You know, even though,
not,
you know, Mark, it's
yeah,
not the
Mark.
House choice my dad would have made, so that was my only competition. Mike moved in with Mark, so I'm beating him. Christy would have been the big competition with a master's degree, but now she hates her job. She's going to move, doesn't know exactly where she's going to move and get a job at. So that means she has no direction, and Dad's thoroughly disappointed in her. And Ken's in college, so I don't think that really counts. I think I'm the front runner right now, somehow.
You know what? That's a really weird grading system.
It is a weird rating system, but that's exactly what it is.
I don't think that you win. I mean, your sister has a master's degree, and
oh, nobody wins.
Right. But the thing is we're you're just telling him as soon as we make any bit of money because you want it to be a little more legitimate because, you know, you're like, oh, we're starting to make money with shirts. He probably thinks you're starting to live off the money with shirts. And
no,
just,
I make it clear.
Really?
Yeah, I make it clear that, you know, I'm like, we're starting to. We see. You know, something's going good. And I make it clear. And he's like, you're making money? And I make it clear. But, you know, he is excited by that. It's this thing I remember writing in the book. And, you know, years ago when I was, I don't remember when I started writing the book, but I remember writing, like, my dad would be happy, you know, to be wanting to be an actor. That's why I came to New York. Wanting to do this or that. It's like artsy, and it disgusts him. But
right.
if I was the manager of a condom factory, that would be okay because that's a real job. That's normal in society, and that would be fine.
Right. Yeah, and I've mentioned I don't want to tell my parents about this until I'm making money. Even still, my parents would not be okay with it, but at least they
right.
would see a point, some kind
right.
of point. This is just me spewing out too much information on the internet for no reason.
For no reason. Except for your people's donations. KeithandTheGirl.com/donate. And a big thanks to Dr. Dan and to Mike for, you know, coming through big time.
Yeah,
that helps.
They really came through this week. Dr. Dan said, What was his thing? Because I loved what he said. He said, celebrate, because our four-year anniversary is coming. And he goes, go
our
out.
Our four-year relationship-wise, yeah.
Right. He was like, go out and celebrate and put some cheese on it.
Yeah.
So awesome. And now we really can. That really, really made a difference. And I don't feel bad buying the tickets for the show that we want to see that day. And by we, right. I mean me. But but I swear you'll get to pick the restaurant that I recommend.
And I want to thank, and then people that don't have money to donate or whatever, you're telling your friends and helping the show that way. And that's very cool. Have you checked Alexis lately?
No, I haven't.
67,000. We busted 70,000. And as far as I know, the number one audio podcast to beat on Alexa, the lower the number, the better, was Free Talk Live. They have 77,000. We beat them.
Oh,
as far as I know, we're the number one audio podcast.
Then people are really talking. Thank you guys so much. That is so incredible. Yes.
And then you ran into some fans today.
Oh, yeah. They came to the DC show. Hannah, Rachel, and Robert.
Cool.
By the way, Hannah, Robert's pretty cute. And Mike from the forums, his name is MKL on the forums. We like him. And I love him because every time he personally sends me something, he's like, I'm MKL on the forums. You know, the one that you like, not MCD. And it helps because when I saw him today at the show, he was like, I'm MKL. And I swear, I'm like, fuck, I don't know if that's the one we like or not. Shit. And I'm trying to run it in my head, like trying to run your voice in my head, like MKL, that's the one we like. And I'm like, I can't make it. And he just follows it right up with, that's the one you like. Right. And I'm like, thank you.
That's how that podcast convention is, you know, like we said last year.
Yeah.
You go there and then I have to feel, Henda. You know, and she's the girl. It's kind of her job. The women's brain is known to remember stupid shit. And, it's, you know, we're at a party. It's like, okay, they're not dating and this and that. And, you know,
right,
you've met them before. But at this thing, this radio thing, I'm into this. And I follow everything. I'm like, okay, we're pretending to be friends, but the whole thing's fake. Oh, hi, how you doing?
Or we don't like these guys. They talk shit. Oh, incredible. Although the people that talk shit about us, I know not before we shake their hand. I know as you shake their hand, you actually go and you talk shit about us on the show. That's nice to meet you.
So we know we are going. Is that correct?
I think so. I think we'll find a way somehow, you know.
Okay.
I think it'll be good. But anyway, MKL came with a girl, and he introduced her as his Serioso. Oh, I love that. Hi, Becky. Love it, love it. And they were so nice. They hung out afterwards. So, but here's the thing about the shows that I'm doing right now. We're opening for Frontline Assembly, and apparently that means that everybody that comes to the show wears only black. And I know that for sure Hannah's coming with her two people. So I'm like, okay, everyone's wearing all black. I bet I can tell who it is, that who Hannah is with her two friends. And as soon as I get on stage, on my left is just three people in like blue, orange. I'm like, hey, Hannah.
Hey.
They so stick out like a sore thumb. It's very goth, the whole thing.
Funny.
And so apparently I missed Mike somehow, but he was wearing a Keith and the Girl shirt, which was awesome. And then and the greatest thing is they were telling me that they got weird looks from people like, you're wearing that? And you know, Robert's wearing a polo shirt, you know, just a regular, and then and Mike is wearing the Keith and the Girl shirt with, like, you know, denim shorts or something, and but everyone's looking at them funny.
What is that? Why is it? How's it a goth crowd? It's not goth music.
Well, Frontline Assembly is very.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, Frontline Assembly, and that was Reese's first project, and people have been following Conjure One through Reese. So, but I was really nervous. I mean, if you see that crowd, and you've heard Conjure One, it's not goth music. It's not even close to music. And he did change a whole bunch of the song. We're only doing six songs. He changed at least half of them to sound more techno-y or more, you know, upbeat and, you know, faster. And but it's still, there was nowhere near the, you know, and I'm like, we're going to come on in between these two sets that are so goth, and people are going to be like, get out of here, you know, because I sing, you know, I sing a song in full Arabic. what am I doing there? So I wore my boots. I wore my boots that lace up to the knees, and I'm like, I'm goth now. And they're so uncomfortable. They're so uncomfortable, and it's hot as shit. And people who have trends, you know, there's goth, there's, you know, what's another kind of style? There's the hip-hop dress, there's whatever dress, everybody's wearing the same, and you kind of, you know, expect them to do, you expect them to look a certain way. But some of it is just not, it doesn't make sense for the seasons. Like, it's hot as shit, and everyone's wearing combat boots. That doesn't make sense. Like, they should make some sort of flip-flop combat-y thing where you still look like you're mad at your parents, but...
How do you have angst and walk around in flip-flops in the summertime?
I know. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. And, maybe it is the combat boots. It's like, I'm fucking hot. Fuck you. Get out of my way. That works.
At first, I was thinking how ridiculous and funny it is that you're changing your outfit based on the crowd.
Me
too. That's not abnormal. That's like you wearing, you know, the city's, you know, baseball team or something.
Well, the thing is, it's not so abnormal. I didn't go out and buy this. It's stuff that I have, and it's not like I'm really dressed goth. I was wearing a purple skirt. But, you know, I might as well not look like the hippie that I normally look like. Like, I would have worn flip-flops on stage or something. When I'm out with Dreadtone International, I go on stage barefoot. So it's a little bit different. Right. But then I look around, and I'm like, you know what? Everyone's wearing a costume. It's not like that's what, you know, I mean, if we weren't wearing costumes, then we wouldn't be wearing things that don't make sense for the season, you know?
Right.
So I'm just going along with everybody else's costume.
How was the DC show? How'd you like it?
I liked it. Like I said, I was really nervous about it, and not just because of that, because, you know, I'm not always sure about cues and whatever, but everything went fine. And so I was really
I didn't know this until recently. It being Conjure One, but there's not a band like when I saw you last year. It's just you and Reese, and Reese playing computerized instruments, right?
Well, the funniest thing is all the goth guys, except for maybe Frontline Assembly, they all have their laptop on stage, and it's really interesting to see because everyone's, you know, in all black and everything, but the Apple sign on the laptop is just right there on the stage. It doesn't go, right? It's like, we're really mad. Click, 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 you know?
Is it weird, like, halfway through a song when they're doing the instrumental parts, you're checking your MySpace? Anybody complain about that?
I think people just expect it.
Where are you at again tomorrow?
In Philadelphia, Friday? At the Trocadero.
Where's that?
In Philly.
Okay, and then New York on Saturday.
Yeah.
And all the information is on the forums. Very cool.
Yeah, it was really nice of those guys to stop by. We came back to the Marriott that I am staying in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I normally do not care about what hotel I'm staying in. Every hotel looks the same. It has a bed. It has a whatever it's supposed to have. It's there. The bathroom's there. Blah. It usually smells like hotel. You know that smell, right?
Yeah.
I walked into this... to the building and then to the room, and I was like, oh my God. It turns out the first place that we were supposed to stay at was like the Travelodge or something, and Reese was there a day before me, and the place was so sketchy that he was like, there's no way I'm staying here. And he's not a diva or anything, but he said that as he was unloading his equipment, these guys were staring at him, kind of scoping him out, and it's dangerous, you know. His shit is worth a lot of money. So it turns
out... Where in D.C., do you know? Is there like a... Do you break it down more? Is there a town or something?
Yeah, instead of... I think the D.C. people knew because some people were like, I'm not going to that neighborhood. But the Travelodge was on 1917 Bladen's... Berg Road on the northeast, and apparently it's all the whole place is divided up into four parts: northeast, northwest, you know, like depending where you're from, it's I think shitty or nice, or okay. You can change blocks and it's shitty or nice. I didn't really pick up on the whole thing. And now I'm in the Metro Center Marriott, which is the town, the city, you know, it's everything's around. So huge.
So what makes the Marriott a 4-star hotel?
I don't know where they find these people that are either the best actors in the world or they actually really want to give me toothpaste so bad that they're so nice about it. Yeah, I forgot my toothbrush and toothpaste. Not forgot. We use the same toothbrush.
Right.
So if I take it, that means
but
you're
things
out.
Are working good, Dad.
So I go to the front desk and I'm like, where can I buy a toothbrush? Oh, well, we'll be happy to send it up to your room. Oh, well, I lock the room so that the maid can't come in. Oh, then we can't send it, but we'll make sure that the next time you come back, because I was heading out, we'll make sure that when you come back, it's right there, okay? But it wasn't the fake, okay? It wasn't anything like, yes, ma'am, blah, blah, blah. It was just normal, and I was like, oh, I'm smiling at you guys for real. It's so, so nice.
Good. And then, but the thing is, that's what throws it over the top. That's right there. That makes it 3 stars. But then you come back, and there actually is a toothbrush, like they said. 4 stars. Yeah. 3 stars is being fake and nice. 4 stars, we do what we said.
It's so great. I feel so pampered.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. We enjoyed ourselves today. Me and Spooky doing the face painting job.
Ooh, his first face painting job. This was a 2-hour job, right? So it's not that hard.
Right. Right. All right. And then we got a $50 tip afterwards each.
Which is huge.
Mm-hmm. Living the life. And I wouldn't have got it if I didn't say goodbye and make that money sign with my fingers.
That always happens, though, to new people. They always get tipped on the first job. And I always want to turn to them and go, that's not normal.
Right, right.
Yeah, $50 for each person is a lot of money. And don't expect that next time. That happened with you and me the first time we went out. We got something like $40 each.
So, Spooky, you know, we expected, you know, the Sistine Chapel, and I'm making, you know, dopey shit, so, you know, I'm actually doing balloons so that you don't compare my shit to his, you know, artwork. Just between us, I'm happy to have him again. I'd like him. He doesn't make us look bad in any way, but the face painting isn't so scary fantastic, and to sound like a dickhead, you know, it's a skill. It's a little skill. Doing brushes is a little different thing. Doing it on, you know, a moving person is something you're not used to.
You definitely have to really, even if you can draw a flower normally on a piece of paper, you really have to get used to doing it on a person who wants to lick your brush all the time.
Right.
You know, those little kids that follow your brush with their tongue because they think it's food or something.
Right.
That takes a little bit.
You don't have to do that when you're making a comic book.
Right. You just have to be very quiet while your girlfriend's sleeping.
Like Adam. Adam's a great artist. You know, he just does it as a hobby here and there. But when he's doodling, you're like, are you fucking kidding me? You're wasting your life. but you know, we went face painting. Again, not so scary fantastic.
There are certain things, though, that he'll get that it's like, okay, I couldn't have done that.
Right.
Yeah. Now I want to have a face paint face off with Spooky.
Mm-hmm. Now you can take him, please.
Did he use the glitter?
No.
No.
No, but he used everything else. I wasn't paying attention, and he wasn't sure about the paint. He's like, oh, let me put water. I hear him talking to the kid. Hold on, the paint's a little dry, and just starts pouring water in the paint and really mixes it up.
Is that good or bad?
Cause that's bad, because he's not used to that paint, but, you know, it makes everything watery.
You didn't warn him ahead of time about that?
No, he's an artist, right? Oh, he knows brushes and consistency and paint.
Oh, you are fun.
And he's afterwards we finish, he's like, I'll give you a palette and that'll make things easier. Relax. I saw your dragon, you know, relax. It was a very nice size party. It was a person's house, but you know, where was Manhasset. It doesn't mean it's a small party because it's in somebody's backyard. Fucking insane.
Yeah, that person's backyard is the size of like 3 or 4 people's homes, right?
Not easily. And, you know, that's his first party, and he sees ponies and inflatables and, you know, waiters walking around giving the kids mini cheeseburgers and hot dogs and everything, you know, endless juice, sangria, you know, this and that, some kind of puppet show going on in the side. This is, you know, it's kind of cool.
And then
at
the end, did he go, I don't know why you guys complain about this.
You know, he was happy. We finish, and he's like, are we, what time is it or something? And I'm like, we're done. And a little too loud, he goes, really? That went by fast. I'm like, our boss is behind you. Shut up. You've been doing this for 10 years. You're disgusting. Yay.
I do remember your first couple times you were like,
oh, yeah.
We're getting paid for this?
Right.
And now, mind you, that's how I was for the first, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm over it now. But but the glitter thing, I forgot to tell you about this. This woman was out in the crowd today where I can see her. She was so into the music, and I thought I saw her crying. And then she saw me afterwards out in the crowd, and she was like, and she started crying as she was talking to me. And she told me this whole story about husbands cheating and whatever. And she's crying, and I'm like, oh, and I'm being really nice. I'm squeezing her hand and touching her and whatever, you know, and just being into it because, you know, this music is making a difference to her, and she's saying it to me, and so I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. But she was wearing glitter all over her chest. Oh. And when she first came up to me, I was like, I almost said, hey, glitter tits. which I'm so glad I didn't, because she was all upset and stuff, and she was talking about how, you know, Conjure One helps her put perspective, you know, when she's feeling down and whatever. Fine. But I was touching her arm, I was touching her hand, I was touching anything to avoid hugging her, and finally I was like, oh, fuck it, give me a hug. I got glitter all over me, but with the guys that were hanging out with me, I made sure to hug each and every one of them when I said goodbye so they can take some of the glitter.
But luckily, the Marriott, if you ask, they have a high pressure water system.
Oh, also, one of Hannah's friends, Rachel, who came, one of the people who hung out with me afterwards, she goes to some kind of school, and she's an art major, and one of her teachers made her do made the whole class do a Renaissance piece in all glitter.
Oh, that's rude.
That's so disgusting. For what?
The fuck? For what? For right? Like, in the future, when we run out of everything but glitter, you can still do art. You know, what kid wants to do this? What parent? How old were they?
She's in college doing this. It's her art major. This is like she's paying to draw in glitter. For
she's
what?
Paying to draw in glitter. She has to deal with it. Her roommates have to deal with this.
Yeah, she said after every class, everyone's covered in glitter. And so she said when we were talking about how, you know, the bigger glitter and the finer glitter, she knew exactly where we were talking about. And she sounds traumatized, the fact that she knows why there's different kinds of glitter, you know. And I would say even if her project was last year, with the amount of glitter that she was working with, it's not done. I'm sure there was glitter on her somewhere.
I guarantee it. And then the teacher has to deal with the glitter. I don't trust a person like that.
Right. Oh, I agree. I think that she's some kind of kindergarten teacher reject, which is a little bit scary, mm-hmm. that you're so dying to be a kindergarten teacher when you're, you know, a college professor and you're making people draw. You're running out of things to do. Well, let's see. Everybody else draws with, you know, pens and markers and things. Glitter time. Mm.
When you said that girl with the glitters was upset, Was she talking about? Did you say something about relationships?
Yeah.
Was she upset about a relationship? We went to the party, and you know, everybody's rich there. You know, it's for the neighborhood, but this mom's like walking to her with her kid to me and with me and Spooky. You know, coincidentally, we both parked our cars there. You know, us and the mom and the kid. And
yeah, it's always scary. I'm sorry to cut off your story, but it is always scary around when you know you're close enough to the party. You can't flip people off who cut you off. You can't, you know, cut people off. Mm-hmm. You have to really be careful, because then it can turn out that the person that you just you know totally had a fucked up conversation with via your open window while driving 50 miles an hour is now one of the major guests in the party that you're. That you're entertaining at.
Right. Absolutely. They cut you off. You have to say thank you. So we're walking, you know, we're walking with this mom and the girl, and looks at, you know, this insane house, and like her eyes are big, all the insane party things going on. And she's like, wow, what the fuck is my husband doing with his life? I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm joking. I was joking. Like,
Did she really say that?
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck is he doing with his life? I'm kidding. I'm really... And you could tell she's, like, more telling herself, like, no, I'm with the right guy, I think. I'm sure there's other qualities, but Jesus, look at this house.
Oh, my God. How mean is that?
But, you know, that's for some reason, it all goes hand in hand. These rich areas, and the relationship's always disgusting, and she's the trophy wife, and he had all the money.
Right.
Makes all the money, and, you know, she's a desperate housewife. You know, it's the same story.
Gross.
You know, I don't know about Manhasset specifically, but, you know, so many of the areas that we talk about, it's always the same.
Right.
It really didn't faze me. It's funny to me that Spooky's first job, he heard that, but it didn't faze me.
Yeah, it's also not only are they all have the same situation, but the women tend to look exactly the same. It's as if they all work out with the same personal trainer to get the same exact body. And I know a woman's body is a woman's body, but it's not. It's like toned in that same way where they almost look like, I'm talking about, let's say, Greenwich, Connecticut. I feel like the right. women almost look like boys in a way. Very hot women anyway, but they work out, and then their hair is exactly the same, and their makeup or whatever it is, however they mm-hmm. do their whole thing, their dress, everything is just exactly the same, and you forget which one the mother is because of that.
Right, right. It's some weird Stepford Wife type thing.
Exactly.
Except they're more bitter and angry than fake and polite.
Well, they're more, you know, bitter and angry, but trying to be down to earth, but it you know, it translates right. bad.
Right. I'm at the party. You know what? I woke up today so fucking horny. I don't know if it's because I knew I'd see Spooky's Art or what, but I was so horny today. And then we leave, you know, I didn't really have time to dilly and dally and take care of business. But we get there and I don't know how to describe this. I mean, a guy will know. It's not blue balls, but it's just this. It's like this. It's almost a pain in your loins, and you're like, I gotta get this shit out. Now you're not walking around with a hard on. You're like half, but I'm like, this is. I have to take care of this.
Oh my god! What'd
whenever
you do?
Whenever I get back home, until I'm like, no, I got to do it now. So an hour and a half into this 2-hour party, I went into the bathroom and finished.
Did not.
I had to.
Did you use anything?
Just my hand, and it took 10 seconds. Like, usually I, you know, I'm used to lube, and I need lube. You know, I don't even like lotion or anything, but it took me like 10 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what was, you know, I don't know, but it took no time.
You are so disgusting, and yet I love uh-huh. it. This last night and this morning, I had the same pain. And women will know, I think, when you can't think about it too much, or somebody can't get you hot enough and then not kind of do something about it because you start feeling an ache. And I was like, right. Oh my god, I left my vibrator at home and I don't know mm-hmm. how to do it without it. It's like, maybe you know how to do it in 10 seconds without lube, but I can't do it. And then I started thinking, like, wow, I wonder how long it would take me if I was doing it. And I wonder if it would wonder if I'd be able to cut it off after half an hour. Oh, half an hour passed. I wonder if I could be done. I'm just dreaming. I'm dreaming of my vibrator.
I'm at a kid's party. I'm like, I don't want to fucking do it at a kid's party. But I'm like, no, I fucking have to. And I do it. And I'm like, what a genius idea. Much better. Balloon? And yeah, and I'd like to make it clear, I was horny as soon as I woke up. It's not because there are 50 to 100 children.
Right. But also, what was my... Oh, you're lucky that you don't like falling asleep afterwards. Like, for some reason... For some reason, for Keith, coming means it's time to be awake for at least another hour. Like, you've mm-hmm. been
and I'm
dead.
Sure my hands are jittery afterwards. Wounds are harder to make.
You've been dead tired, and I've been horny, and I think I've tried to avoid having sex with you so that you don't end up staying up when you're dead tired, which is so ridiculous.
It does wake me up usually, yeah.
Ridiculous.
I was doing balloons twice as fast. And I don't know if, like, I wonder if, like, a mom, like, saw this look on my face. I don't know. Like, could she tell what I did? Because this came out extra creepy. This, you know, I was already in the bathroom. I know where it is. This little girl is asking for the bathroom. She wants, one of Spooky's drawings removed. Interesting. I'm pointing to the bathroom, like, do you see it? She's, like, shy about it, but the mom isn't taking her. The mom's trying to tell her, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go over there anyway. I'll show you where the bathroom is. And just the way I said it was so wrong, and the mom goes, you know what, I'll show her. Never mind.
Ooh.
Not snotty, but definitely, like, what the fuck am I saying? Is the way
Ooh.
I said it. I'm like, I'll show you where the bathroom is. Come on. I'll show her. You know what? It's okay.
Oh, that's bad, babe.
Mm-hmm. You actually left the window open when you were jerking it. You know what? Let me show her.
Oh, that's so gross.
I got my pants down. I'm in the bathroom. And then I see, like, it leads to the parking lot, but there's a little crack in the drapes. So I'm closing the drapes, but there was some fancy candle behind it. That falls on the ground, the candle holder. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I, like, look back like somebody just opened the door.
All of this in 10 seconds?
All that in 10 seconds.
Wow.
If this is your job and I'm talking about it, you know, I didn't really do it on your time.
Did you wash your hands?
Of course I did.
I'm just checking.
I'm not disgusting. Speaking of bathroom stuff, though, this is the guy that has OCD type thing where he'd take a dump and I have to use a shower. Remember him?
Yeah.
I will take the roll and run it around my hand 8 to 10 times, getting just enough to not stop up the toilet. After that, I use a highly lathered hand something. Oh, I use a highly lathered hand. There's no way I could use a cloth because I would have to throw it away. Wow, that is the last thing I thought you'd want to interview someone about. Anyway, as far as eating and scheduling, I do watch what I eat, and I plan things out very well. Typically, I only go once or less a day. When I was younger, I would go only once every 3 days, but that has damaged my intestines a little. I started to develop IBS, and what is that? Something bowel syndrome. If I'm going to be away from home, I will fast, which is easy for me, and eat only stuff that doesn't generate much waste. Juices are good also. When I used to work at a Fortune 500 company, if I had to go, I told them that I was going to a meeting in another building, then used a BlackBerry to send a couple messages as if I was in a meeting, then I was able to go home early. That usually wasn't a problem, though, since that was only needed if I ate something that didn't want to stay in for long. And on the smell topic, I will not smell someone else's. I will hold my breath. A couple friends used to mess with me by gassing up the room, but they stopped after they realized I might actually get suicidal. I might get homicidal. I just leave the room if I think it was an accident, or yell if I know it was on purpose, but at any rate, but try to be light about it since I know I'm the freak in this situation.
Oh my God.
You have to, and isn't that something? And you know what? Yes, don't get me wrong, weirdo, you are the freak in the situation, absolutely. But again, it's like whatever problem somebody has. Let's say a fifth of the audience rates in about it.
Right, you know? And you know this...
You're not going to be the only one, any other sick story we tell.
You know this guy's not making it up because the details are just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And he calculated. He calculated how much toilet paper there is, what to eat, where to go. It's
right. And when he told his dad, hey, I'm working at the Fortune 500 company now, and I can say I have meetings and just leave if I want, his dad was all proud of him. I'm just saying.
There's a direction in his life now, and it's to the toilet.
Right, it's to the toilet in the shower. This guy writes, I too have to wash my hands after I eat. Even after using a napkin, I was saying how when I'm done eating, I feel weird if my hands are dirty. Even after using a napkin, they still feel greasy and dirty. It's not OCD, just cleanliness. I also have to have a blanket to sleep with, regardless of the temperature, and a sheet won't do. That's normal. I don't take shits in public restrooms, including the one at work, and I hate the word poop. This is Becca. Oh, girl. You know what? I despise the word poop. Poop to me is grosser than shit. And Hemda tries to say it nice. Like, I forget what she says for pee. Wee? I forget. But you say
pee-shy.
Poo.
I say pee-shy.
So it's not...
I wanted to name the last show Glitter and Poop, and you were like, no.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you said glitter and shit, and somehow that was okay.
Right, and you're like, that's what I said. I'm like, well, if you think that's the same thing. That's why I'll say dump and shit. This, I poop you're thinking about. Poop. It's fucking weird. Poo-poo. That's gross.
Yeah.
I also got genital herpes when I was 15. It sucked. I learned my lesson, though. I don't need to take medication. Well, what's that mean? You learned your lesson. You already have it. I don't need to take medication for it. Since it doesn't really bother me at all. If I were single, then it could make dating a little frustrating. Love the show. Safe travels, Hemda.
Wow. By the way, I was in the pool today. That's right, in the pool. But I was thinking, it's only a lap pool, but I was thinking, you know, everything's so exposed in the pool. I bet people get diseases just from that.
I believe it. I don't trust pools. I don't trust beaches. I don't know why I still go. You know, everything will get you. Like, if you knew.
Right.
And I know the shit that goes on behind the scenes in a restaurant. I still eat in restaurants. So I don't know why I still go to the beach when I see a kid with a fucking filled up diaper in the ocean. He's not the only one that's been doing it. You know that literally there's poo in the water and you're still swimming and accidentally, you know, swallowing dumps.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? What can you do?
Yeah, but everybody's gross. Everybody's gross and is going around touching things. You know, I've seen guys scratch their balls and not even bother doing anything about it and just going about their day. That same hand that was down their pants is going to shake somebody's hand when they meet them. And that's not just this one guy that I happened to catch scratching his balls. It's most of you.
I was watching that new show, what is it, America's Got Talent. And it, you know what? I'm not into any of these American Idol, Can You Dance, all that shit. It doesn't interest me, but this did. And it's like a variety, you know, they come up and do anything. And
it looks like
I kind of got
into
it.
It looks like it would be really good.
This hip-hop...
It looks like it would be really good, but I would never think that you would think it's good.
I didn't think I would either, but I taped it going, if it ends up popular, you know, I'm going to have to know something about it to talk about. I watched the whole 2 hours. Fast-forwarding commercials, of course, watched the whole 2 hours. And, you know, you have three people judging, David Hasselhoff, Brandy, and, you know, some English bloke.
Ooh, what did Brandy do wrong in her life?
Exactly. And so they each have a buzzer. You know, you've seen the ads. They each have a buzzer. Their buzzer makes an X go, you know, light up. If all three of them X, you have to stop. And then they vote if you move on. Like, well, then what's the point of the fucking X's? Anyway, I brought it up to say this hip-hop group, you know, does a good job. You know, I don't know. But apparently he did. And then they're like, you're going to move on. It's excellent. You know, Brandy's ready in tears because it's her people. And as they're getting the praise, these dudes can't not keep touching their junk.
Ew.
I would love to take my vote back. Like, you really have talent. You're something. You represent America well. And then he, like, grabs his junk. And I'd be like, you know what? Never mind, actually.
I think that's
moving on.
That's a nervous tick, I think.
Is it a nervous tick when it's a black thing? You're walking down and you start grabbing your nuts.
Still.
Is that everybody has a nervous tick?
No, still, you get used to it, but it's like how some girls...
Why your dick? I put my finger in my ass. That's a nervous twitch I have. But I do it when I'm uncomfortable.
I compare it to how girls flip their hair all the time. Certain girls flip their hair all the time. That's like a nervous tick. You know what I mean?
I guess.
It's
interesting. It happens to involve your privates.
No, you're right.
I have a nervous tick. I jerk off at kids' parties. It's a little tick I have.
Then nobody can blame you.
Right. So anyway, this show, though, with the three buzzers, when somebody doesn't like something and the other two just keep it going because it's funny, then, like, Brandy, all three of them were guilty of this. They start hitting. They hit their buzzer and then the other people's buzzers to end it. I'm like, put more power in the fucking buzzers. You don't get to touch other people's buzzers. I don't know why it was upsetting me.
Because they're not taking it seriously, and they're saying that
they're not taking it seriously.
And because, you know what? I've seen the commercials, and people are just so damn talented on this show, and everything is so precise, and they worked so hard that giggling, you know, and reaching over and Xing them out might be a little bit of a heartbreak.
Right.
That's all.
So David Hasselhoff poses. I think he's the coolest cat in town. But he poses like everything. Like he literally stands up. Every time he stands up, it's, you know, his cock is like forward a little bit, like his waist. Do you know what I mean?
Ew.
He always stands with it. He's always posing. He's always doing the Knight Rider pose.
I believe it. I totally believe it. He's one of those guys that thinks he's very hot, like knows that he's good looking, but is still self-conscious about it. It's like those hot girls that wear very little clothing, and every bit of them is just perfect. You know, they have no fat, they're in very good shape, the makeup's done exactly right, but you know that they're just self-conscious and that you can just break them down in a second, that you can take advantage of them in certain ways, and that only idiot guys are gonna get them, you know? It's that kind of sad thing. Like, you know it, but you don't know it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the reasons I want to be a celebrity, though, is to do a show like America's Got Talent. Like, you know, I would never be allowed on America, you know, to be a judge on American Idol, you know, because I'm not a singer or because, you know, they take it seriously. But, you know, these shows like America's Got Talent, they'll take anybody if you're a celebrity. All of a sudden, you can judge anything.
Right.
And I'd be one of the three, and I'd say, you know what? Fucking awesome. The worst act, I'd be like, you're moving on. That's great. Because every time, the other two are going to say no anyway. So why not say yes?
Your whole life's goal is just to be on one kind of thing where it's real life or something so that you can do the opposite of what they want. Every time, I'll be on America's Last Comic Standing and I'll shit in everybody's food. Okay, that's the opposite of what they want you to do. But if that's your goal, I'm sure your father will be very proud because you're moving in some kind of direction.
I love it. That's great. You're going on. Yeah? No, you're not gone. No, you're not gone. Oh, well, dude, sorry. I tried.
Yes, I...
Good luck. Never quit.
I'm Keith Malley, and I ruin people's dreams.
I'm trying to help.
Oh,
I did see that you brought up Last Comic Standing, and I did see it where they're all in the house now. Joey Gay, by the way, is the weird one. He's a little weird.
Oh, no.
They did this thing where... by the way, I heard Joey Gay on a radio show say that... it's totally legit this year, and that whoever wants, like, he knows who wins, totally deserves it. However, America doesn't vote until they're down to six people in the House. I would really like to know what he meant.
Well, we should get him on the... I thought you were going to say I heard him on the radio, and he said, I opened up for Keith Malley, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, who knows? Right now, he's worrying about the House, I guess. So anyway, they do this thing, and it was kind of funny. They did this thing where they'd split the comics in half. While one comic is performing, another one of the comics is a heckler.
Ugh.
And then they have a heckling back and forth battle. And it was kind of funny. Joey Gay refused to heckle his partner.
Why?
Because he thought it was rude to do.
But now it's really just an improv thing now.
Exactly.
You know, it's...
You're almost taking the easy way out by pretending to be nice. And I'm sure he was. I'm sure it was genuine, but it was weird.
Yeah, I don't think it's the easy way out. I think he's just a nice guy.
Right. But then, so, you know, that I found that a little weird. Then he goes, they do the voting, and you say, you know I'm funnier than, and he goes, during this part, he goes, let me make it clear. You know, he's by himself, like, you know, the real world confessionals. Let me make it clear that I'm not playing favorites, and I would have not heckled anybody. I would have gave everybody the same courtesy. However, with that said, I do have to say, I am funnier than, and says some chick's name, because she's very good, but if I have to go against her, I will mop the floor with her at the end.
What?
And she's like, and people are like, what the fuck? And he goes, and now it's in real time, and he goes, hey, just business, baby.
Shut up.
Yeah, he's like a little weird on the show. It's funny.
Wow.
But it ends up, you know, three girl comics all going up against each other, end up getting paid to get kicked off. You know, two of them get kicked off. Do you remember the pretty girl? She's kind of pretty, but she makes weird faces.
The tall one? She's funny?
Yeah, I think.
She's funny.
She's not that funny, but anyway, she gets kicked out, and she goes, I would like to tell the audience, you know, remember, women are funny. Don't underestimate women. You just lost.
Yeah, plus I hate when women do that, separating themselves from it. You're either funny or you're not. Just be funny. Don't be a funny woman. Right. Don't be a funny black person. Don't be a funny Asian. Don't be a funny Israeli. Just be funny, and people will just think you're funny, and then that's what will break whatever barriers there are. And, you know, there are those things. You know, I'm the only girl on the tour, you know, right now. I'm the only girl backstage, and, you know, it is a man's world in a lot of places, but that doesn't mean that I'm just like, well, I'm breaking grounds being here. Right. You know,
I do think, yeah, and of course, you know, I do enjoy, in general, you know, male comics over female comics, but also you have to remember, 80% of comics, period, suck. 80% of guys suck, let's say.
Right.
And 80% of girls suck, and obviously there's far less girls, so it's going to seem like girls are a lot less funny.
See,
but it was just sad. If I was a girl, and I'd be like, this is representing me in this house, they're fucking awful.
But sometimes guys are funnier only because, like, sometimes girls stink only because they can't finish the joke. It's like, so then I ate my baby. And then they have to go, no, I'm just kidding. We know.
That's true. It's that thing. They can't be too mean. That's also a big problem with
women.
That's
the thing.
They don't
like
being mean.
Where guys, they don't see what they're saying as fact. They just see it as like, hey, I'm going to say this and it's going to be a joke, which means like my baby raping joke, I'm not going to rape babies. And women, I learned this on some, I don't know, I heard this somewhere, it made so much sense to me. When somebody says baby raping, a guy could find the humor in it. Which
I said, I was telling you this. We talked about it on the show. You're right.
Yeah, but I actually picture a baby getting raped, and that's not funny to me.
Exactly.
And that's
we're just deliberately saying the sickest thing imaginable.
On
we're not
purpose.
Thinking I'm raping a baby.
Exactly. You're just saying that because what can be grosser than that? So you're just playing the grosser than gross thing, and we're just going, you can't rape a baby.
Right. That's exactly what it is. It is disgusting that girls will tell a joke and then take it back or whatever they say. Or, you know, see a big party and go, what the fuck is, you know, my husband doing with his life? I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
And guys can't get away with that. If you guys mumble something under your breath, we're listening to it and you're already in trouble.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I did find the remote. What? What if, oh, you want to pause time like Adam Sandler? That's so funny because I talk my head off, don't I? You just want to pause this right now? No, just press the mute button. That's okay. I'm just a human being across from you. All I do is slave all day. But no, seriously, press the mute button because this is so annoying.
You're right, honey. Women are funny. You're right. That was on Tuesday, Last Comic Standing, and also on Tuesday, Rescue Me. And I really love the show. There's something about it being so simple, but it, which I've said before, Rescue Me, but it moves, and it the rating moves, and the always at the end of, you know, at the end of a show, just 2 minutes, you find out you know, Dennis Leary's wife is fucking his brother. That, you know, they just, he just throws shit in there. Right. The Proby is half a faggot now. He just wrote that in. It always moves.
Yeah, he's not afraid to not. For lack of a better term, kill off a character, you know?
Right.
And the fact that that Proby, you know, was a very womanizing whatever, the fact that he's gay kind of kills off his character. So he's not afraid to, you know, move things in whatever direction. But the thing is I know he's drawing it from real life, so I'm wondering how much is real.
Right.
And does he know, you know, every character on the show, and that actually happened?
You know what? It was about, yeah, you know what? Firemen didn't like the show before. I don't think they're going to like that this. The Proby's trying to say, it's not gay if a dude sucks your dick and you don't do the sucking. And where did that, yeah, you could tell this stuff is from his life. You could tell Dennis Leary does have a little problem with alcohol, you know? Or
right.
He wouldn't fucking, he does have a problem with the Catholic religion, you know? So there, where did you get that story that it's okay for a dude to suck a dick? It is interesting. But I notice it on this show, Rescue Me, every show. And I'm not looking for it. It's not, you know, because I'm a fucking super movie star. The continuity is so terrible where, like, you'd have two people talking and it shows one and then the other. But when it cuts to the other one or over the shoulder or whatever, the dude's mouth is closed. Then it cuts back. It's open. It's a big problem. Like, you could... It's a big problem when they touch their face. They, like, have their forefinger and thumb on their chin. Then it cuts the other way, and you see the thumbs not touching the chin. Then it cuts the other way. And I'm not being so anal. This is the only show that I catch, like, fucking five mistakes a show.
No, it throws you off when things like that happen.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It happened so much, I even stopped rewinding it. I'm like, there it is. There it is.
You were rewinding it.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's like, it seems so blatant. It seems obvious. I can understand, you know, wearing the wrong tie in a scene and not knowing, and then you see the finished project, and you're like, what the fuck? But this just seems so obvious,
right.
Like, why you're doing it, you would know. And don't do, like, isn't that an acting rule? You know, if you're going to take the time to do something weird, like, put your forefinger and thumb on your chin, then you got to remember exactly how you did it.
Yeah,
like, don't
but
do
then,
extra shit.
Okay, so the actor didn't catch it. Then the director didn't catch it. And then the editor, you know, maybe he caught it, but that's the best he can do. But that's way too many people involved for it not to work out.
Right. Oh, well. Good show. The, Keith and Hamda, at work, we have this hottie of an intern, 19 years old. I assigned her some paperwork to keep her busy for the summer. I was in her office chatting and noticed her iPod laying on her desk. I said, hey, what do you have on this thing? As I picked it up and scrolled through her songs, not too far down the list, amongst a ton of shitty music, I might add, was the name Dane Cook. Oh, you like Dane Cook? And she goes, oh, I love Dane Cook. And he goes, seriously, why? And after a long pause, she goes, I don't know. Do you think he's funny? Eh, sort of. He's cute. I was thoroughly disgusted, John.
I thought this was going to be a happy ending where he scrolled down and found Keith and the girl. She sucks his dick. They're more t-shirts are sold. Boo.
Talking about when we were talking about the dumps and you being in Germany and shitting on a shelf. Mm-hmm. And then when you finish, you flush the shelf kind of, right?
Right, yeah.
The poo shelf in the shitters is a strictly German thing, says Jason. The reason for the design has to do with the fact that Hitler had the toilets designed this way so his doctors could examine his poo for evidence of food poisoning or other irregularities prior to flushing. I know it doesn't make sense to examine for food poisoning after the fact, but Hitler was a pretty fucked up guy.
You know what? In Germany, you're not allowed to talk about the Holocaust so much.
Yeah, not even pictures. You can't even talk about
it. Yeah, but so much of things that are happening are, you know, I mean, that's the history of that country. How do you not talk about shitters? How do you, every time you shit, how do you not go fucking Hitler?
You know what? That's, I don't know what's a bigger atrocity. Having to shit on a shelf? I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I'm kidding. Right. I'm kidding. Of course, Holocaust was terrible. I'm joking.
All right. Okay.
Where is this? Okay. This person writes, Candace. Well, I was just in your chat. So, you know, while you were gone these past 2 days, I'm having a lot of fun hanging out in the chat and
KeithandTheGirl.com/chat.
Right. I was just in the chat for about the 10th time. I get bored a lot. I got warned from DC or something. That's Dr. Dan. So I guess it pissed me off. Anywho, I talked shit for a while till I got kicked, then went back playing the bullshit game, and finally got banned by Brolo. Which leads me to believe that Brolo is not only Keith Remda, but also that you are nothing but bitches. You for giving whoever the fuck that was power over people who are really just your fans, and then letting them have control over people who have done nothing but buy shit from you and vote for you every month. For God's sakes, Yahoo doesn't have power over who gets kicked out and who not. Your chat sucks. P.S. I know I've gotten at least 20 people to listen to listen me, and them aren't listening anymore. All of a sudden.
You know what?
Even though this may not bother you, think if everyone plus 20 people stop listening. You're going nowhere being an ass to your fans. This also funny because I know how many other emails you got like this and how many listeners you're down right despite how many listeners you're down right disrespect has made you lose. This is why you won't make it big ever. Eat my snatch, Candace.
I really wish that people would take our chat seriously.
I know. Please take the chat more seriously.
This is a forum where people get together and really need to discuss important issues.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you finished Keith and the Girl chat one night and you're like, wow, there is a cure for cancer. So I write, this is Keith. You sent this twice, so you're pretty angry. Do you like the show? And then disrespect in the chat room ruined it. You are honestly the first person to write about being offended in the chat room. Hold on 1 second, sorry. Computer's messing up.
And he is the first person, because okay. You like reading this kind of shit.
I love it. Hold on a second. Computer's fucking up and it's making me nervous. All right, there we go. Okay. This is Keith. You sent this twice. Do you like the show and then disrespect in the chat room ruined it? You are honestly the first person to rate. Offended by the chat room. The show is disgusting. The chat room is an animal. Was the chat room so crazy you're turned off by 290 shows you otherwise enjoyed? Seriously asking Keith. And she rates back, no, I just wanted a good fuck you email. Damn, is that too much to ask? People in the chat rooms wouldn't turn me off from your show. I'm drunk and didn't know I sent it twice. Hee hee. I'm just bullshitting. Well, I am now. I think I was really mad. P.S. I don't think I have 20 friends, much less any of them having computers. You suck. Candace. Easy go, easy come.
The funniest thing is you really genuinely want... You always want to know what is people in people's heads. You needed to know that.
Right.
But I'm surprised you didn't go, and by the way, how old are you? And where do you live? Is it in a town? Is it rural? And that's your response. I love it.
Did somebody poop in your, you know, in your sheet one day and put it in your pillowcase? What happened?
Right. I need to know the whole backstory. Like a psychiatrist, right. You can't just blame the parents right off. You need to know what happened.
Let's get out of here. There will not be a live Friday show, you know, because she's over there and it's we're talking through cell phones. It's not possible. But you will be, I'm sorry, for the 10th time. Where are you tomorrow?
In Philly.
Friday.
In Philly.
And then Saturday in New York,
you can
go to the forums and check her out.
Yeah, and Saturday you will be seeing me at the show. Hopefully you'll remember.
Did you hear that, folks?
All right.
It's not what you say, son. It's how you say it.
Okay.
Thank you guys very much. KeithandTheGirl.com/store/donate helps us out and lets my dad respect me. And we'll talk to you guys on Friday.
KeithandTheGirl.com.